Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
Wait a second, Mikey.
Because you look a little short.
I do. How did I end up short?
I don't know, but I love it. Because normally
I
I'm
to sit up tall.
Normally I'm the short one.
Welcome to ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel everywhere we could possibly reach. And we have all kinds of content for you to check out. It's Bible resources, pastors you can listen to, worship bands, our past articles and podcasts. We love to hear from you. Drop us a line. Let us know if there is something we could pray for you for, or if you'd like to pray for us, or just fun facts that you want to share with us. I truly enjoyed those. And if you care to partner with us, you can click the donate now. And we would really appreciate that right there on resurrectministry.com. But one thing that's free and easy that you could do for us today is subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Give us a thumbs up, leave a comment, just subscribe, whatever you're capable of doing, we would really appreciate it. Or if you could subscribe on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review. As you know, the algorithm loves that kind of stuff. So that's a great blessing to us.
It loves comments. So please comment in whatever you're watching on Facebook. We're on 3 different channels on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch. Some of our favorite comments come from Twitch, X, and Rumble. So just make sure wherever you're at, you make sure and comment and subscribe on all that you can. YouTube in particular, just do that. I know YouTube is run by communists, but there is some value in it for us as far as spreading the show and spreading God's word.
Yes.
Isn't it great to be able to spread God's word on a communist platform?
Much to their dismay. Because our content is apparently dangerous.
Right, right. We can't monetize on YouTube because our content is dangerous. As I was going to think of another word, but
yeah,
that dangerous, it really is the only thing that really gets me.
It is dangerous, but because it's pretty exclusive. It's
dangerous to the devil.
Yep.
Make sure and follow our sponsors. We have some great, I'm sorry, before that, make sure and let us know if you have any prayer requests.
Yes.
I forgot that the last time too.
Prayer requests before the end of the broadcast.
At the end, we will be praying for all those that have left a prayer request in the comments. All right, now go down to our sponsors. Live LifeWise is the URL you need to use for our company, LifeWise. That is a Christian-run company. Jesus is the CEO, and he has some great products. We actually have some new products being added. I don't know enough about them to tell you about them yet, but they sound amazing, and you may want to check them out. If you have inflammation, have trouble sleeping, if you want to look as beautiful as me, can use...
I know, I do.
You can use the products that help you get beautified. And then StreamYard is a platform that we are using right now to go live to you right now. So if you have any hobbies or a devotional that you want to broadcast, if your church hasn't got online yet, which would be very odd at this point, but you can use StreamYard. Some people are still using their phone, I noticed. They
broadcast sermons?
Yeah, they just set up their phone. Use StreamYard. Just put a computer up in a cam. You could use your phone with StreamYard also, but you can have a little bit more flexibility with the tools that are in StreamYard. So feel free to do that. And then make sure and use, hold on, we're doing something different today because I just ran in. I was at a great event called We the People, Orange County. Fantastic.
We the people.
I'll tell you a little bit more about it after we get done with the devotional. But make sure you prepare your Bible for 1 John 5. 13 through 15. 1 John 5, 13 through 15. We'll be reading that in just a little bit.
Weren't there 5 comments and now there's 4?
That may have happened, I think.
How does it happen? Can comments disappear?
I think maybe they can delete them, maybe.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the platform. I'm not quite sure. Do you want to go to those right now? Is that what you're saying?
Just wondering.
Oh, I'm too late. I'm already going to say hi to Kelly. Elliot, how are
hi,
you?
Hi, Kelly.
All the way from Florida. Kevin Karmis. Kramis. Why did I say Karmis?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Kramis. I saw him earlier on my rant on my live broadcast from my truck. People love my rant from my truck.
Really? I can't. I just can't.
The libs really love
I
it.
I take a couple minutes. I listen really? To a couple minutes, and then I just.
She knows you're married to me, and you
I
love
know,
me.
I know. I love you. But I think.
So this morning was really good. You should need to go back and listen to the replay. Watch out for former Fenton Muslims.
That's a good title for my book, Kevin.
That is really good. Former Fenton Muslim.
Yes.
Hedia Mirmati, Falco. Jimenez.
Yes.
Kelly says, I can't believe you would be considered dangerous. We love your podcast. I know. It literally says
the communists, Jesus lovers are dangerous.
And Kevin says, my truck rants are great. Oh, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, you got
it. I think Kevin loves me a little bit more than you love me.
No, it has nothing to do with love.
What does it have to do with?
It has to do with just flavors. You know, it's just like, do I not love you because I don't love peanut butter chocolate ice cream? No.
But
you love that stuff.
Oh, I'm
just not a fan.
Well, the libs come on and start commenting. None of them came on today. I think they've learned their lesson. But they used to come on and comment, and then they got grilled. All right. We're going to be going to A.W. Tozier for the Christian Leader. And it is April 22nd. The title is Two Conditions Must Be Met. Yes. Two conditions.
This is slightly controversial, I think. I'm curious to see what people will say.
All right.
I don't know.
Remember, we want your comments. So 1 John 5:14 is A.W.'s reference here. And he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When we go to God with a request that he modifies the existing situation for us, that is, that he answers prayer, that are two conditions that we must meet. That's a difficult sentence.
If we're going to him to answer prayer, he's requiring two conditions to do that.
When you reword it, yeah, it makes more sense.
His language is sometimes awkward.
One of the conditions is we must pray in the will of God. And two, we must be on what old-fashioned Christians often call praying ground. That is, we must be living lives pleasing to God.
Yes.
You know, actually, Steve, the guy that invited me to We the People, had a little bit of that discussion today about how difficult it is to be in that place.
A praying ground.
Yes.
Oh, we talked about that last night too.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is futile to beg God to act contrary to his revealed purposes. To pray with confidence, the petitioner must be certain that his request falls within the broad will of God for his people. The second condition is also vitally important. God has not placed himself under obligation to honor the requests of worldly, carnal, or disobedient Christians. He hears and answers the prayers only of those who walk in his way. The truth is that God always answers the prayer that accords with his will as revealed in the scriptures, provided the one who prays is obedient and trustful. Further than this, we dare not go.
Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to be obedient. May everything I do and think be pleasing in your sight. Amen.
Yes.
So I think this is controversial because I don't think Christians place upon themselves the requirement to be holy in before they pray. I don't think I know of a single person ever in my Christian walk, which has been not so long. You guys have been saints way longer than me, but where someone says, you know, I keep praying, you know, for my sickness to be healed, but you know what? I'm actually really not right with God. And that may be why. Like, have you ever heard somebody confess that? Like, I really need to get my act together because God's not answering my prayers. And I think I need to be holier. Mm. I think I need to be living right. Have you ever heard somebody say that?
Kind of tonight with Steve.
Oh, really?
Because and I hope I didn't hear it wrong, but that's how I took his little talk that he gave.
Oh, really? Because I've never heard somebody say that. Everyone's like, why doesn't God answer me? Mm. As if like God's a jukebox. Mm. You know, it seems like everybody automatically expects, hey, I've been praying. Why isn't he answering? Instead of, we had a long talk about this last night at home church about the fact that the sins are forgiven on the cross, but our actions have consequences. And they have consequences on our lives, on our children's lives. The sins of the father are passed to the third and fourth generation. There is culpability from our ancestors. There is culpability from us. And we have to be in God's will. We have to know God's nature. We have to be in line with God's purpose. We have to be in line with his requirements of obedience. Mm. And I don't think that's stressed often enough. I really don't.
I do feel that that for some of us, people like me, who really became ingrained in my old man, because of the amount of time it took me to find God.
But you're a great example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Where you were living in pretty much debauchery and then yelling at God, why aren't you answering my prayers?
Right.
Right? Yeah, like you're a perfect example of that. Like, I don't understand why you don't answer me.
Well, and then something.
Gosh darn it.
Then God finally just says, okay, I'm going to like hit you over the head with a mallet.
Right.
And then that happens. And then finally.
It clicks.
But, you know, you bring up something that sounds more like a conscious decision. Like daily that I need to be right with God. I don't know that I necessarily have that. I think what's happened with me is that I've realized that when I am walking in ways that God wants me to live my life and to speak and all these things, I see how my life changes, how being right with God has shown me that there is great love and grace and reward on this planet by doing that. And it's just something that just kind of has been happening. And then each step I take, again, I'm not telling you that you should take the amount of time that I have taken to done this. You should do this today. But beginning to read the Bible just a few months ago, every day has changed a lot. I mean, it has added even more to my life. But it's not something that I wake up in the morning and say, you know what, today I'm going to be right with God because I want him to answer my prayers more regularly.
No, I don't think it's a quid pro quo. That's what Kate's saying too. It's not I give this and then I get that. It's not a jackpot machine.
Right.
I give it a quarter, it gives me three lemons. You know what I mean? Like, there's no quid pro quo with God. Right. But we shouldn't have the audacity to be praying fervently and living in debauchery and then yelling at God for not answering us. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that, you know, I mean, there has to be a certain amount of right living. I mean, I'm not saying it, Tozer is saying it. Mm-hmm. I'm just echoing this principle. You know, like, I mean, don't you think it's a little bit insane? Well, looking back now, yes. Don't you think, like, oh, why aren't you making my marriage work? You know, and he's like, well, you know.
Well, it's kind of like the kids that I'm dealing with right now is that they, you know, we gracefully give them things. And yet they talk to us like crap sometimes.
Yes.
And
it's all changing.
You know, especially the teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like. Like, why are you giving me attitude? Like they say that to us. Is it because I expect you to do what I tell you to do? I tell you to wake up. I expect you to wake up in the morning, get dressed, make your bed. We give you a lot. Like, you have a life that is better than 95% of the planet. And yet, you know, they remind me of me towards him in my 20 years walk as a Christian in name only.
I could say that.
He's given me so much. And yet I'm going, okay, God, where were you? Why did you take away my huge business that I had? I built this business, and it I prayed that it would be saved, and you didn't save it. I did all the hard work. Wait, and all you had to do was save my business.
But didn't you do the crappy work too?
But he didn't stop me. He didn't stop me from making bad decisions.
There you go.
Oh, I was so mad at him. Yeah. Like, come on. What do you mean?
The good things he doesn't get the credit for and the bad things are all his fault. So ironic.
All the good things that happened were because of me.
Right.
Doesn't exactly. He understand that?
Oh, so Lisa, we haven't seen you in a while, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. Good afternoon, Kate. And Lisa says she agrees that it's not stressed enough. Which I presume she means holiness. Mm-hmm. Kate says, I'm not sure about that. That healing is a gift. If we have to perform, then it's dependent on us. Holiness comes as we spend time with God, and holiness comes from him. Yes. As I said to Andy, it's definitely not a quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. I think it's more on the extreme end where, as we were discussing and laughing about, that if you don't practice holiness and then you're just angry at God for not answering your plethora of requests, that it's maybe something else that you're not doing in terms of being within God's will. Holiness comes as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, and Paul had holiness and was never healed. I don't know. Did we mention? I think one of the example was healing, Kate. But I didn't mean only. I didn't mean it in specifically reference to healing. I just use that as one example. Whether it's our children or a job, as Andy was saying, like he was praying for his business to be saved, and it wasn't.
No,
of course not at any fault of his own. But that's what I mean. Like, you know, we just pray for these things and we're not living right. And in my own example, when we were talking about what was going on with Zara, and one of the people last night asked me, well, how many years did it take? And I said, it was about 7. And along the way, up until this last month, the Lord, before she was baptized, kept telling me steps along the way. One was a sobriety. The other was just my temperament, things I had to do, not working, all of these things that came up along the way that as I was praying and praying and praying for her, God would give me instructions. I need you to do this. Then don't seemingly relate to her at all. Mm-hmm. But up until this last one, which is like, you have to start your book in the middle of my trauma and my turmoil and my, in like, oh my God, what is going to happen? It's like, write your book. And I was like, what? So that's what I mean about being within God's will and obedience, is that he's training us, he's challenging us, he's putting us through trials. And through that process, he's telling us things to do if we're paying attention, and they may not seem to have anything to do with what you're praying about. And yet, in my experience, they do. Mm. They do, because he's trying to order your steps. And everything falls into place the way he wants it to fall in place.
Does that mean, because I've talked about this before, that COVID was the best thing that happened to me?
Right.
Everything about COVID was the best thing that ever happened to me. Do you think that the whole COVID thing was just for me?
For sure. don't tell Biden that.
I mean, because I'm telling you, so much amazing thing came out of COVID.
Yeah,
but it was, and I was deathly ill. I was pretty close to dying. About as close as you could come. Yeah, and I could not have been closer to God. And so I'm just thinking about what Kate wrote about Paul, is that the illness and the pain and the suffering was such a great tool that God used to bring me closer to him.
Yes. And I think for Paul too.
And it wasn't for healing, strangely enough.
Yeah.
It was that I go, wow, God, I love you. I am thankful for what you've given me. And he humbled me. It was
I was just going to say to Bob Paul, that God didn't heal him because it was always humbling for him. Mm.
Who knew that I needed humbling?
Who knew? How strange. Why in the world would you need that? You never know. God's so funny sometimes.
But it was his perfect timing.
Amen.
It was everything. Is. You know, just to kind of go through it. A lot. There may be somebody watching that doesn't know us very well, but we met during COVID.
Yes.
I got sicker than a dog in COVID, ended up in the hospital. You saved my life through a conversation with the doctor who wanted to do something that was going to kill me.
Yes.
Who knew that the doctor
kept trying to kill people.
And my girlfriend of only a week saved my life and knew better than the doctor. My kids, my kids connected like never before because my oldest one had to come and take care of the younger ones, which was amazing. My new daughter got to meet the other children, and get connected during a really wild time, but we got to spend a lot of time together early on.
Yes.
As an early family, I had cancer. We had both had homes that we couldn't get out from under. And then everything changed and
miraculously
both sold like in really miraculous ways, which is a completely different story that would take far too long to tell you about, because of the sale of the homes that I'm now cancer free.
Yes.
With a procedure that I could not have afforded without one of the homes selling. It's just an incredible story that we should write in a book one of these days.
Yes.
And none of it that I can recall ever, and I want to make sure and be totally honest, that I blame God like I did with the loss of my business. I didn't blame God for being as sick as I was, and it hurt, and it was bad. I couldn't breathe. And I had to walk around with an oxygen tank. I didn't ever go, woe is me, God, why me?
Yeah.
I don't recall ever doing that.
No.
I just was like so never thankful did. For everything and for him meeting me and being with me and fulfilling his presence was amazing. I hope that's all making sense for you guys, because God is amazing when you're humbled and you find him and just appreciate his closeness and his love. It's entirely different.
Carl gets a kick out of your kino.
Yeah.
Christian in name only. That is very cute. Yeah. Instead of a rhino, you're a kino.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Kate says, same. For her, I would never become an artist or a writer if I didn't lose the use of my legs. And I don't regret it for a moment. It has also brought me closer to God and studying his word. I am grateful. Amen.
Wow. Kate, that's powerful. What does God's word have to say?
Well, it is, of course, John, the disciple whom God loved. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Write these things in the name of Jesus so that you may know, not guess, not wonder, that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Again, that's the aligning of the will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything we ask according to his will, he hears. And if he hears, then we have it.
It reminds me of one of the most powerful things I learned from Pastor Jack Hibbs early on, finding his church. He was another. That was another one. Found his church during COVID. Is that our eternity with God starts at the moment that we're born again.
Amen.
Unlike you in your Muslim faith, you never knew when God was right with you or even cared about you.
Right.
Even knew your name. How horrible is that?
Yep.
But in our faith, the true faith of the true God and our Savior Jesus Christ, that the moment that we accept him as our Lord and Savior and are born again, our eternity starts from that point on.
I had this interesting conversation yesterday. We had our home church, as I said, with a young lady last night who was struggling with her weight. And so she was asking me about my weight journey. And so I had explained to her, I had my eating disorders, taking prescription diet pills, anything I could possibly get my hands on, smoking a lot. And I said, but this happened in two phases where I said that, I became a devout Muslim and all of that stopped. And I said, but the weird thing was, as soon as I left Islam, it all came back as if I was still 24 again. Mm. And she looked at me, she's like, wow, that's really weird. And I was like, yeah. I was like, that's what led me to cry out for God, because I knew I could not have been in a real religion because I was not transformed. There was literally no transformation that occurred. Monkey in, monkey out. And she was fascinated by that idea. She's like, wow, you could spend that many years in a religion and experience no change. And I'm like, yes. It is crazy. It is crazy. And you compare that to your Christian walk where you're
transformed.
You're transformed. And you're like, wow, I literally feel different.
Yeah.
You know, from the inside out.
You're somewhat of a different person than the one that I met in line at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills.
I hope you're going to say in a good way.
In a fantastic way. Okay. You were amazing then, but I don't know what's after amazing.
Okay.
There is definitely, the light is brighter.
I hope so.
Coming from you.
Maybe go from glory to glory, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not sliding backwards.
Not today.
Not today, Satan.
I think anybody would say that knows you well enough. I believe that Jolene would say that.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
Oh, I gotta ask.
Yeah. I do. I see it. I see it daily.
Thank you. You definitely changed exponentially.
No.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Exponentially. I think if you ask Zara, she'd say the same thing. Without really? Even asking her, you ask her, she'd say the same thing.
Wow.
She used to be terrified of you. She's still scared, but no, not nearly in the same way.
I get a lot more hugs.
Yes.
I mean, I get hugs even when I don't ask for them.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, no, you used to terrify her.
Really?
Absolutely.
How is that possible? I'm such a nice person.
Because you're terrifying.
What?
I actually have been afraid of very few people in my life. So you're definitely top two.
I mean, if you're going to be with a man,
you want to be a little bit terrifying.
Would you want him to be terrifying to other people?
Well, yeah, but you don't want him terrifying to you.
Well, right.
But in order to be terrifying to other people, you got to be a little bit terrifying to you. Yeah, it kind of comes with the territory.
Oh, it's so funny.
Isn't it?
You guys are the only ones who, I swear, I know you don't believe this, but I mean, maybe my kids, who cares what they think. But I've never had anybody say that I was terrifying. Again, as
your
a cop.
Kids would say that.
I said my kid, who cares about it? I'm supposed to be terrifying to my kids. in law enforcement, I knew so many people. I've said this, unfortunately, before, but they would say, you're too nice to be a cop. Why didn't you become a fireman?
Most of my friends, when they met you for the first time, were terrified. And they were actually worried for me. They're like, Hedia, we know.
How dare you say this?
We know you're very strong, but he's a little scary.
Like, in what way? What are you talking about?
That right there.
I can act very well if I want to.
Yes.
Intimidate somebody. I mean, you learn how to do that as a cop. I was small. I was like, I'm not like Carl. Carl's like a monster. He's
is he?
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah, he goes, when he walks, you hear the. and I look up to Carl. I say, "Hey, Carl, nice to see you." And he shakes hands like it's like shaking hands with John Wayne. You know, this big old hand wraps around your hand. But I was like I'm now tall, much taller. Now I was five, I'm 5'10" and change. And
okay.
But have you seen that uniform that's in the little frame?
Uh-huh.
I was 175 pounds when I fit into that uniform. And so I was very small. So I'm not as small as Pastor Bob. Can you imagine him being a cop? He's a tiny little guy.
He's almost dainty.
But I had to learn because I was very shy growing up. I, you know, a whole bunch of stuff where I just was not like strong in those ways. But you have to learn.
You did learn very well.
My very first call was to a biker gang, a biker bar. With the Hessians and I believe the Mongols going at it.
Yeah.
And that was my very first call.
You learn quickly.
And get on the ground, guys. My voice cracking.
Please. We're gonna get thrown off of the network with the screaming.
That's how my voice was. And I had to learn to have a little bit more command presence. Now, the Academy says you need to have command presence, but that's all good on paper until you're there and you got these big monsters. Like, they all look like Carl Whitney, but with tattoos and big beards, which is very intimidating to begin with.
I like this. So Carl's talking about the verse where he says, the Christians who follow the proclaim it and claim it philosophy talk about confidence dealing with this verse, but always forget about God's will. Isn't that true? I don't know how many times I've heard that verse cited without the "if God wills" part in it. And I just don't understand how people could do that. Anything you ask for God, he will give it to you. And I remember because when I would hear that as a new Christian, as a very new Christian, I would be like, oh, really? Like, anything we ask of him, he'd give us? That's amazing. I just started to dream up things that I wanted to ask him for, you know? And then I was like, wait a minute, within his will. Okay, so that has conditions. That makes a little more sense.
Any prayer requests? I'm going to ask one more time if you guys that are watching have any prayer requests. Just feel free to put in the comments if there are people that you know, but you don't want to say their name. You don't have to. You just put them in there. But we may ask, what's their name? Because it's a little more personalized that way.
Yeah.
But God knows their name.
Did you have fun last night?
Yes.
Church?
I did.
Okay. Anything that particularly stood out to you?
You know, it's not that I don't love our regulars that show up, but it was fun not to have them there because we got to spend time with some of the people that tend to be a little bit more quiet. And I'm not telling you people that didn't come not to come. I'm just saying that because of that, it's easy to go to the people that you know.
Right.
Like as you know, you and I leading it and people raise their hands and that kind of stuff. But we had a few new people there that it was great to get to know them.
Yeah.
And to hear like Karen's testimony about how prayer
helped her
instantaneously pretty much changed what she was going through with her daughter. I thought that was amazing.
Isn't it?
I mean, it was a huge transformation.
It really was.
It was from dark depression to light and love
and Jesus.
So much Jesus.
So much Jesus.
So I think that was my favorite part was hearing new voices speaking up and talking and telling us a little bit about themselves and that kind of stuff. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Jason talking about him and his son and how, you know, the relationship with Jesus got stronger with a son that has a lot of limitations with his special needs.
Yeah.
I thought that's powerful for people to hear because you begin to think, you know, I got so many problems. And then you hear, you know, Jason's story and you go, oh, sorry, God.
Right.
didn't mean to be whining.
Yeah.
So I thought it was nice. I know who we have, somebody that's a regular, but we don't always hear from them, is our friends from Calvary Chapel East Anaheim who have the dogs.
Yeah.
Jenny and Brian. Okay. I wasn't sure if we wanted to say their name, but hearing her talk,
she's always and
share. That was very awesome.
She always has tons of wisdom, but she's usually quiet at our home church.
Yeah. What about you?
I loved having the chance to hear from people that had not participated. I think we had a friend of a friend show up, Will, the new gentleman from Egypt. I think he added an interesting dynamic to it as well. He had questions and he's looking for a new church. So he's on that journey, which I love. That's kind of a fun journey. And I just love talking about prayer and the power of prayer and getting a chance to pray over one of our friends who's going through a very difficult time. So it was really nice to get a chance to pray over her. And the Lord had given me so many words for her. And so afterwards, I went up to her. I was like, did any of that make sense? I'm like, was that out of my imagination or was that God? And she's like, no, that all resonated with me. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I literally started jumping up and down like a little kid because I was so excited it was right. Because it didn't come from me. It came from the Holy Spirit. It just flowed out of me. And I was just so excited to hear that it wasn't my imagination.
Yeah, that it's hard. It's still hard for me to just allow the Holy Spirit to work through me in my words. There's something that I get choked up. There's things I can hear it.
We can block it. Our minds block it.
I think I do that, unfortunately, a lot. But I'm working on it.
Yeah.
There's days where it just kind of, it does. And other days where I get a little bit nervous.
I think everybody goes to that. Everybody's like, they get performance anxiety, you know, where you just start getting in your head about, I have the same thing. Sometimes you get into your head and you can't pray what God wants you to pray because you're concerned about what you should be praying.
Right.
As opposed to what he sets out for you to pray. And then other times I just really am able to convince myself, let God lead, Hedia.
Let go, let God.
Yes.
Whose song is that? Somebody's song.
Lisa is asking for John and Rochelle, Amanda and Derek and James and Haley to hear God calling out for them, for them to repent and receive saving faith. Amen.
Yes. So just real quick, before I had to drive really fast from Orange, the city of Orange, to here because I went there to an event called We the People OC. A new friend of mine named Steve Scott. Turns out we've ran like almost side by side at a few events, at Trump rallies and things like that. And we have a lot of friends in common. And he goes to Calvary Chapel East Anaheim. So it was interesting that we just
now. Would I recognize him?
No.
No.
But it was great. We got there and then there were a bunch of people in the group at, it's held at Zito's Pizza in Orange.
Nice.
And it's on, it says today, Monday. Yeah. On Mondays. I'm not sure if it's
every Monday they do
it. No, I don't think it's every Monday, but it's,
first
Monday of the month or third Monday of the month or something. Whatever. Where are we? Third Monday of the month, something like that. And it was great because they, I was not expecting this because it sounds like it's more of just a Patriots event or meeting. And a lot of it is God-based, Jesus-centered.
Meaning like what?
It all starts with prayer and different people come up and talk about what's on their mind or what, you know, something that they want to present to the group in regard to biblical context and things.
So like our home church?
Very much so.
It was not interesting.
I had a completely different idea.
Yeah.
I
would have wanted to go there.
I know. The whole time I go, oh shoot.
Yeah.
Hedia should have came. The saving grace is that you would there's no soft seats. That's all wood. See, we wouldn't have done that, and you would have not been very happy. But it was amazing. I got to tell you, it was amazing.
Yay.
And just a great group of people. And they had a speaker. Her name is Kira Davis, and she's on all the networks like Fox and Newsmax and that kind of stuff. And she subs in for Dan Bongino on his radio show when he's not there.
Oh, wow.
So she ran for school board in Capistrano but lost. But the teachers union is very powerful, put hundreds of thousands of dollars for her not to win.
Wow.
Anyway,
you heard the seal of God's running, Chad Williams. He's running for city council.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. But she has a podcast too. And I'm not sure what the title is of it. Not sure if I'll be able to read it. She's an author of a book called Drawing Lines, Why Conservatives Must Begin to Battle Fiercely in the Arena of Ideas. So she has, a bunch of things going on, but I just wanted to make sure and let you guys know about Kira Davis, K-I-R-A Davis. Really great speaker, a lot of good information. If you want to run for school board or you want to support your school board, I think she's a great person to follow because she has lots of really good ideas about how you can either, like I said, run an effective, even though she lost, but we learn a lot from losing.
Yes.
We understand it much more afterwards. Like, oh, now I know what I should have done differently. And so she points out some of those things and is great at helping other people run their campaigns. So great person. Glad that had a chance to hear her speak.
That's great. Yeah,
but she's really awesome. Maria Baker. Hello, Maria Baker.
Hi, Maria.
She wants prayers for
family relationships to be restored, Thank you, and blessings to our loving hosts. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it. Anything else, Nooks?
No, I think that's it.
All right.
Got it? Any other prayers? Or... I have one.
Okay. Hmm. Add it.
I'm going to add it. Dear Lord, thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for inspiring our hearts with a desire to draw closer to you, because without that inspiration coming from within us by virtue of your Holy Spirit, it is impossible. And so we ask you to strengthen the call, the still small voice that we hear, encouraging us to draw closer, to read your word, to fellowship with other believers, to pray for the saints, to intercede for them, to intercede for our families and for our children, Lord. And in that regard, we lift up Lisa's kids to you, her kids and their spouses, John and Rachel, Amanda and Derek, James and Haley, Lord. We ask that you draw them towards saving faith, that they would be able to hear your voice, that you hear the cry of Lisa standing in the gap for them, Lord, so that they would come to saving faith and raise children that know you, Lord, and nothing is impossible for you. We know that you are capable of all things. You are the miracle worker and the way maker, Lord, and we depend on you to do these things, because we would like to spend an eternity with our family members and with our loved ones, Lord. So we ask for you to do a miracle in their lives. We also ask for Maria, that you restore family relationships, Lord, that you draw them close. You renew ties of love and of peace and of grace. And I ask for that in our family too, Lord, that you fill Andy and my heart with grace for our children and mercy, that we all learn to treat those that are not yet walking with you, or those that are new and walking with you, Lord, that we are patient and we are kind, and we extend grace to them the way you extended it to us, and that we learn the lesson of what it means to be Christ-like, what it means to love, to love until the ends of the earth, to love, I don't want to say unconditionally, because you do expect obedience out of us, but you give to us unconditionally. You gave the ultimate sacrifice, and we have to learn to love like Jesus, Lord. So fill our hearts with that kind of kindness, with that kind of love. We love you, Lord. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. In the mighty name of Jesus, that we pray all and ask for all things. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I was just going on there for a while. It's just conversating.
Yeah. And I just want to say, Lisa, just continue to pray. And I know that you will. And
yes,
for anybody listening, it was a 7-year journey that we're on.
Yes.
And Karen, shared last night that the relationship between her and her daughter were not always very close. Like it's always been a little bit rough.
Yes.
But then we had prayer at our house. Mariama prayed over her, and it was a couple of days later. So it could be years waiting for it, but put it in the right situation. God works.
Yes.
Some amazing miracles. Brought her daughter not only closer to her, but closer to God almost instantaneously. And
through trauma.
Connected her with a boy who runs a Bible study that she's excited to go to all the time, and connected with other
new friends,
Bible loving, Jesus loving friends. This completely turned her life around.
Amen. All of our kids.
You can't give in, can't give up. All right. Anything else, Schnugs?
That's it.
Amen, says Maria and Kelly and everybody else. We love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. God bless. Take care.
Bye.